Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight is Terry Jackson, who's filling in for David Harris. Terry is the gospel preacher for the Rising Star Church of Christ and Rising Star. We're thankful that you're with us tonight. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation or if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're airing on the HPR network on KATX 97.7 out of Eastland and also KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas. And also we're airing on KQMK 1680 AM out of Oklahoma, as well as on Internet radio at knowthetruthradio.org. We want to remind you, again, that this is a live call-in talk show. We'd like for you to call in with a question or comment. We also have a chat box that you can go and get involved in a conversation. There's usually a lot of conversation going on there on the chat box at knowthetruthradio.org. We also want to remind you of our additional sponsors. Not only is this program sponsored by the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton, but also the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, where we're airing from today. Also the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. The De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. The Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. The Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star. And the 4th and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood. We also want to remind you that we also have a webpage at www.harrisonmoore.org, where you can listen to archived radio, archived programs that we've done in the past. And Ryan Smithy, who is our webmaster, has taken those and has put them in some kind of a topical arrangement. So if you're looking for a various topic to hear something about, well, you can click on that and go to the radio program while we're talking about that very issue. We want to remind you also that this program will be rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on knowthetruthradio.org. Now, over the last several weeks, we've had some quite, very difficult times that we've been facing, Terry. We've been having quite a bit of tornado activity taking place, not only here in Texas at Granbury, but also in Oklahoma. There's been some very harsh and very terrible destructive storms that have gone through. And not only that, about a month ago now, I guess, in West, there was that explosion at the fertilizer plant. And so there's been a lot of horrible things take place. A lot of innocent people being killed and harmed and have lost everything as a result of these storms. And there are a lot of people out there, Terry, who are wondering, why are all these bad things happening to good people?
That's true. And you know, whenever you look around, that question, it's legitimate, but it is not legitimate. I mean, you have to go into the Word of God to answer that question. Why is it happening to good people? And that's what we hope to cover tonight. In fact, Tom, I'd like to start in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. And I want to read that and kind of introduce, this will introduce what we'll be talking about. And we're going to try to answer that question tonight and to deal with some of the things that revolve around that very question. So looking at Judges chapter 6, starting verse 1, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown that Midianites would come up also, and that Amalekites, the people of the east, would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as coming in as numerous as locusts. They and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried to the Lord. Now, one of the things that what we learn here is that for 7 years they were being victimized by the Midianites, and their crops were being destroyed, their cattle were being rustled and taken away, and they were seeking refuge from their from caves, and they lived like basically like hermits all that time, hiding in caves to keep away from the Midianites.
You know, they were living at a very difficult time for the Israelites. All these horrible things, as you mentioned, was happening to them. And, Terry, it was during this period of time that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon. And notice what we find in Judges chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, "And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto him, and said unto him, Jehovah is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if Jehovah is with us, why then is all this befalling us?" He's asking the Lord, "Lord, if you're with us, why did the Midianites come down and are destroying us and taking our things? Lord, if you're with us, why are all of these difficult things happening to us?" You know, this is the very question that many people are asking today.
That's right.
And I'm sure a lot of people in Oklahoma are asking this very question. If God is with us, why are all of these horrible things happening to us? Many people might be asking, if God is with us, why did my child have to die of cancer? If God is with us, why was my wife killed in a car wreck? If God is with us, why was our life wrecked by that horrible tornado? If God is with us, why was my child molested? If God is with us, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, Terry, these and a thousand similar questions could be asked. These are questions that really grip the human heart. There are thousands, maybe millions of people who are crying out for some kind of answer. Why in the world are bad things happening to good people?
Well, and when you look at the problem with many people today, they're looking at all the suffering and all of the pain that we see around us, and they find that as an obstacle to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
They ask that question, but instead of really seeking the right answer, what they say is, well, no loving God would dare treat his people that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say that this problem of evil and suffering shows that there is no God. And, you know, this is a question that many people really agonize over, and they try to resolve that problem in their minds and try to find an answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of people then are assuming that because evil is happening to good people and these difficulties that we just talked about are happening to good people, that, well, there must not be that good God that the Bible talks about.
Right.
But we need to notice something as we begin to look into this, Terry, that no man should be so bold as to think that he can completely understand everything there is to know about the problem of suffering. You'll notice in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out." There are so many things about God and the ways of God that we can't even come close to understanding or to understanding. And you know, the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 is also a passage that sheds a great light into this very issue, where it says, "The secret things that belong unto Jehovah our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." You see, God has revealed to us, what we need to know.
That's right.
There are a lot of things that we don't need to know. There's a lot of things, perhaps, that we can't handle. But the things we would like to know, but we can't, we have to accept by faith that the all-great and knowing God, he always does the right thing. This was a question that was kind of asked God, wasn't it, in Genesis chapter 18?
That's right. In Genesis 18, 25, far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all of the earth do right? Well, of course, that's a rhetorical question. It really doesn't need an answer, because the answer is automatic. Yes, he will always do what's right.
Exactly.
And you know, to me, that right there is the basis of what we're going to be dealing with tonight.
Uh-huh.
God will always do what's right.
That's right.
So therefore, when you look around at all this bad stuff happening, it may not be God's fault. It is not God's fault.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So that's what we talk about.
So tonight we're talking about the difficulty that some people have with regard to the so-called evil or the problems or the suffering that goes on in our world. A lot of people are asking the question, if God is with us, why are all these bad things happening to us? Why are good people suffering? Now remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in the chat room by going to KnowTheTruthRadio.org. You click there, and you can go right into the chat room and be involved in the conversation that's going on there presently. And so we've got to realize that there is a problem. And the problem, though, does not rely on God. The problem is our failure to see it correctly.
Exactly.
And as we begin to develop our lesson tonight, we're going to see that there are reasons why these things happen. And as we mentioned, we can't give all the reasons. We don't know everything there is to know. We only know what God has revealed to us. But there is a big problem with regard to this issue of the problem of evil in regard to the faith of mankind many times. We need to realize that, first of all, it should be noted that when a person raises the question of evil, he is inadvertently appealing to some universal system of justice which evil allegedly violates. But you know, if there is no God, then there is no universal system of righteousness and no such thing as evil. You know, this, Terry, is what has been called by many the atheist's greatest argument. If there is a God, then why is there all this evil in the world? If he is a loving God, why then does he allow his people to suffer?
The answer, well, one of the things I think, that the scary side of this. It's the other side of that, the flip side of the coin. If there is no God, then where is right?
Mm-hmm.
Where does right come from? Who determines, and this is what the atheists have to define for us, what standard by which certain things are judged to be evil? What's evil? Well, bottom line, the only standard, whenever you boil it down and look at it, the only standard becomes, well, what I think and what you think.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't have a standard by which everyone is governed, then it's true, then what you believe is right and what he believes is right could be diametrically opposed to one another.
Right.
And so we've got to have some standard. So when an atheist says, because there is evil in the world, there must not be a God, well, by what standard do you say that thing that happened is an evil thing? Well, when we begin to develop this idea and look at this idea of there being a God and also being evil in the world, we've got to realize that God, who is love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he expresses his love by giving us the freedom to choose. God has given us the freedom to choose, hasn't he, Terry?
Yes, he has. You remember, you know, Joshua 24 and 15, Joshua said, you know, he made a commitment. for his family. He told Israel, said, you choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my family, we will serve Jehovah. That was his choice. He didn't make the choice for Israel. They have to make that choice. He made it for him. I think it's significant, Tom. He not only made it for himself as the head of the family, he made it for his family. We will serve Jehovah. That's his choice.
So there's a choice there involved, and because God loves us, he has given us the freedom to choose. Can you imagine, Terry, living a life when there was no freedom to make a choice? We'd be like robots. No freedom to choose to do this or that. You know, in John chapter 7, in verse 17, we have another example where God has given us freedom to choose. He says, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. If any man willeth to do his will, if any man wants to do the will of God, then he can.
That's right.
But at the same time, if a man does not want to do the will of God, he does not have to.
That's right.
Now, there are going to be some repercussions to our choices, and we're going to see how that plays a part
sure.
in this whole situation in a little while. But Revelation 22, verse 17 also talks about this very thing, doesn't it, Terry?
Yes, it does. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And here you go again, Tom. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whoever chooses, let him take the water of life freely. We are not robots. We're not computers. We think for ourselves. We can either choose the water of life or we can refuse it.
Mm-hmm.
That's our choice. God has given us, and I like what you said about God is a God of love, and he loves us so much to give us that choice
mm-hmm.
and not make us robots.
Exactly.
But to give us a mind, and a mind that is rational and a mind that is volitional, well, we can make those choices.
Can you imagine how it would make God feel if we were forced to love him or forced
right.
to obey him? You know, when you get a hug from your granddaughter, if her mama made her hug you, it's not quite as good, is it?
No, it is not.
As if she just ran her own free will and jumped in your arms and just hugged you to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of love you want. That's the kind of love God wants from us.
Exactly.
And that's why he has given us the freedom to choose. He wants us to freely love him, to freely obey him. And as a result, thus where freedom of choice is permitted, there is certainly the possibility that man is going to make the wrong choices from time to time. You know, and we see that every day, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We see it in the newspaper. We see it on the TV where people make the wrong choices. And when wrong choices are made, there are going to be adverse consequences as a result. Right, Terry?
That's right. You know, I remember years ago, there was a man that was an alcoholic that was converted to Christ. He was probably in his early 80s. In the time that he had been drinking, he destroyed his liver. Well, he became a Christian, and a very sound, strong Christian. But you know what? The choices that he made to drink the alcohol, and it affected that liver, it didn't take that away when he became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
When he was baptized, his sins were remitted, but he still had that liver disease.
There was a consequence.
That was the consequences. It was his choice. Now, he had to live with those choices, and he died with that choice. But then again, he made the right choice when he became a Christian.
Well, think about this. If all actions or all choices, both good and bad, produced exactly the same effect, how would one ever learn to choose the good
there would
and
be
reject
no,
the bad?
How could there be any good?
Mm-hmm. You know, if you put your hand on a hot stove, and it burns you, you know that that's a bad choice, right?
You sure do.
But if you put your hand on a hot stove and you don't feel any pain, if there's no recourse of action because of that, well, then you don't know not to choose or not to choose.
That's right.
Hello. Tom and Moore. You have a caller. To accept...
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Glad to have you on the show tonight. Give us your name and your question or comment, please.
This is David Harris.
Hey,
David.
How's it going today?
It's going great, and I'm very interested in your program, and I'd just like to make a comment.
All right.
The comment I'd like to make is this. We live in a world that wants to put the physical over and above the spiritual, when over and over and over we're told in the Bible, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then those physical things will come. Those physical things that we need and we love so much and that sparkle, they'll come. But when you back this up all the way back into Genesis, and you take Abraham and Lot, and when they split up, Abraham gave Lot a choice. You pick one way, I'll go the other way, so we will not argue over land and territory and animals and such as that. Lot looked over to the physical, the well-watered plains over there toward Sodom. And when he did, he made a choice. He chose the physical aspect that was there in that area. He chose to move himself and his family in that so that he could actually profit, in my estimation, because of the well-watered plains.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham went the other way, kept his spiritual life intact. Lot, and on the other hand, the consequences of that choice was he lost his family because he chose the physical over the spiritual and never gave it much thought.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder if, David, if God could be blamed, you know, if Lot said, well, God, it's all your fault that I lost my family and that I lost my whole thing. Isn't that what a lot of people are doing? They're blaming God for their ill fortunes, when in reality it was their own actions that promoted the very thing that happened to them.
No doubt. And, you know, we all make choices as to where we're going to live, where we're going to put our family, what school we're going to put our children in. And every single one of those choices, if they're made strictly on a physical basis, there's going to be some severe repercussions to pay, because you cannot overcome that physical choice without a tremendously, tremendously deep background, faith-based background in God's Word to guide your life. And if you'll do that first, it'll make your choice right the first time.
You know, in thinking about this, David and Terry both, you know, we look at the horrible thing that took place in Moore, Oklahoma. You know, that's known as Tornado Alley, right?
That's right.
And
then
you remember not too long ago when the horrible hurricane came and destroyed New Orleans and where people were living below sea level. Sometimes we make a choice in living in areas where difficulties can be much more highly available, if you will. And so there is a choice also by where we live that can bring difficulty to
us. Sure, and I'm firmly convinced. You know, even where Stephenville, Texas is, and on down and through that, that's still part of Tornado Alley. We have made a choice. We are willing to take the risk to live where we live, to enjoy the things that we enjoy, in the face of destruction, if need be, we'll just rebuild. But we go in there with that open mind and that open choice. Now, Joy and I have had a couple of houses. One was on a creek bottom, and one's on a hill. Every time it rained on that creek bottom, we knew we had the potential of getting flooded out of that house. And we'd wake up at night and stand out there and watch that water come right up to the doorstep. We knew when we bought that house. But it was gorgeous down there, and we were willing to take the chance. So then, you know, if you weigh the consequences, and it's about a destruction of a physical thing and not a destruction of a spiritual thing, then make your choice and live happy.
Exactly. But so that's the whole deal. Exactly. That's the whole thing here.
Don't blame God because you chose something. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a choice. Exactly.
Yeah, so I just want to throw that 2 cents worth in. I'm enjoying the program. It's a great program, and Well, you guys are doing a great job. I'm looking forward to getting back down there in your country one of these days.
Well, I'm missing you, brother.
Well, give us a quick on how you're feeling. You feeling pretty good?
You know, this has been a great day.
Uh-huh,
an absolute great day.
Oh, awesome.
Glad I'm glad to be able to share it with somebody.
All right, great. Glad you called in, David.
Okay. Have a great night.
All right, love you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, David. Well, you know, David makes, you know, a good point. You know, and people say, well, that's awfully cold to say, well, they chose to live in Moore, Oklahoma. Well, it was a choice. It's a choice to live in California, where the earthquakes are coming. It's a choice to live on any coastline where hurricanes might come in. We always make a choice. It's a choice to live in a big city where there's more corruption than in a small community. You know, we make choices every single day. And we make a choice of whether or not to drive to work.
Mm-hmm.
We make a choice of whether or not to work on this job. We make all kinds of choices. And yet we always are going to have to suffer the consequences of our choices. Sometimes our choices bring about good, and sometimes they bring about God. But we cannot blame God for the consequences of our choosing.
That's right. That's it.
When we think about this, what we're talking tonight about why bad things happen to good people. And that's a question that many people today are probably asking in Moore, Oklahoma. And many people are asking in various parts of the world. Because of the things that are happening unto them, many people they're blaming God. And they're asking, well, where was God when all this happened to us? Where was God when my wife was killed in a car wreck? Where was God when my child had cancer? You know, people like David wouldn't ask this, but other people ask, why was God when I got a cancer? Where was he with me in all these things? Well, we have choices to make.
Can I kind of say one thing,
you
Tom?
Betcha.
And when you look at David, and I hear David say things like blessed and all through his little logs that he sends out mm-hmm. to us. When those people at Moore were interviewed, I didn't hear one complaining about God. They were talking about how fortunate and blessed they were. And if anything, they were thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that they were looking for was mementos in their house. They weren't looking for their possessions, their furniture, their gold, their silver. That's not what they were looking for. They were looking for pictures, things that meant something about their life.
Yeah, one lady was looking for some doilies that her grandma had knitted or something. You know?
And my point is, you see, when tragedy happens, you see, you realize what things are important, and what things are important is what David's talking about. They're not things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's not what's important.
Exactly. When we get on the other side of this break here in just a moment, we're going to talk about various types of suffering. We're going to talk about sometimes difficulty comes because of personal wrong choices. Sometimes it will come because of the personal wrong choices of other people. Sometimes it's going to come because of the choices of former generations and et cetera. But we're going to end today with talking about there are benefits to suffering, and that's something we really have got to realize as we draw this program to a conclusion this evening. But we're up against a break. We're going to take a break now. You are now listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
You're back.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We're delighted to have you in our audience today. We're airing on the HPR network at KTX 97.7 FM, KNNK 100.5 FM, and also out of Oklahoma at KQMK 1680 AM, as well as KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We're talking tonight about why there is evil in our world today, why there is suffering, and a lot of people, Terry, are involved in blaming God for their difficulties, and they're asking if there is a God, if there is a loving God, why is there so much evil taking place in our world today? And we've noted that one of the reasons there are difficulties in our world and suffering and pain is because we have the freedom to choose.
That's right. You know, in Judges 6:1 we read earlier, Tom, what does that first verse say? Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. As a result of the evil that they did, then they brought all of these calamities upon themselves.
Exactly.
And the Midianites, Malachites, others just stood there and basically took over their lives and chased them into the hills and the caves. And so you see the problem is those choices that we make toward the evil.
Yeah. And so if a man steals and goes to prison, is it not his fault?
Yes, it is.
If a man murders and is executed, is God to blame?
Nope.
He's not. Yet someone may argue, well, God could have prevented the crime, hence preventing the suffering. Not if he wanted to preserve man's freedom
exactly.
of choice. You see, God limits his own activity by lovingly granting man the freedom to choose. Man has free willpower. But you know, Terry, not only do sometimes we suffer because of our own personal choices, sometimes we suffer because of the wrong choices of other people.
That's right. When you read the paper or look in the news, we're always reading things about people who were killed by a drunk driver. There were people who, in battle, who were evil and trying to overthrow the evil leaders and conspirators. People lose their lives. And one of the things that you read in Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. And he gives us this freedom of choice. There's going to be evil in the world. And not only is that evil that's out there going to affect that person, but it'll affect those people around them. It may affect families. It may affect innocent bystanders. But it could, you know, it does have a ripple effect around them.
And so, you know, we can't argue for the freedom of choice for ourselves while denying it for others.
Exactly.
You know, I want freedom to choose, but I don't want anybody else to have freedom to choose. And so sometimes because of that, because everyone has freedom to choose, sometimes innocent people are killed in a car wreck involving a drunk driver.
That's right.
He chose to drive drunk. And as a result of his choice, I have to suffer the consequences. You know, in times of war, many are killed as a consequence of the evil decisions of a few leaders. We sometimes pay the price for others' freedom of choice. We suffer many times because of our own personal choices. We suffer many times because of the personal wrong choices of other people. But you know, also, many times we suffer because of the personal wrong choices of former generations. You know, if we're going to reap the good benefits of good labors of generations in the past, like various scientific discoveries, you know, yeah, wasn't it great when they discovered penicillin and various things that have been discovered in times past, and we reap the benefit because of things that were in the past. But sometimes we reap the benefits, or the consequences, better spoken, of things that have happened in the past. Didn't God warn that there would be difficulty for other generations if they rejected God?
In Exodus 20, when God is giving the law to Israel, in verses 5 and 6, Moses wrote, or God told Moses, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them," talking about the idols, "nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now, what he's saying here, let's make no mistake about this. It's not original sin here. He said these other generations are going to follow their parents and hate me because of you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't train them. You didn't teach them. And so, therefore, they hate me. Verse 6, he goes on to say, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." You know, how many times do you read in Kings where the king would arise and do what? What his father did.
Yeah. Did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Did evil in the sight of the Lord.
As his father. Yeah.
And what he would receive, basically the same kind of punishment that his father did.
Exactly. You know, and even today you hear things like, you know, a few years ago I was in India, and they have these cows walking around everywhere, these holy cows. They have ornaments on them and stuck on them. And there are many people in parts of India who are very hungry and have very little to eat, and yet they have all this beef walking around everywhere. Well, in the Hindu religion, those cows are their gods, and they're not going to kill them. Well, whenever that started, that Hindu belief is now affecting generations on by.
That's right.
So the choices of people can affect people in other generations. If, again, as you said, if parents raise up their children or do not raise up their children, they now suffer the consequence because they weren't raised right.
That's right.
And then what's going to happen to the next generation and then the next because of all these things that are taking place? So we see here that suffering many times occurs in our world, and maybe even to us, because of our personal choices. It can happen because of the personal wrong choices of other people. It can happen because of the wrong choices in former generations, but it can also happen because of natural law. Now, remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE if you'd like to get in on the discussion on the telephone. We have quite a bit of activity on the chat box. I'm having a hard time keeping up with all of it and keeping up with what I'm doing here. But y'all keep chatting back and forth, and they're making some very good points. If you'd like to get in and look on the chat box and see what's taking place there, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about why there's evil in the world and why are good people sometimes suffering because of evil. Where is God in all of this? We're talking about free will. We have freedom to choose, and as a result of that, many people suffer personally. Sometimes we suffer at the hands of other people because of freedom of choice. Sometimes other generations are suffering because of other generations' bad choices. And sometimes we suffer because of natural law. And that's what we've seen here recently, haven't we, Terry?
That's right. And David made this comment, and you made this comment earlier about Tornado Alley. In 1997, Moore was hit by a bad tornado. Early 2000s, they were hit by a tornado. So, you know, those are things that's going to happen. And, you know, when you violate, there are certain laws of nature that you violate, like gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, if I were to stand on top of this church building and I said, "Watch this, I'm going to fly off," what's going to happen?
I believe you're going to hit head first.
I'm going to hit head first, probably. And that's not going to be, the end result's not going to be good. But that was my choice.
That's exactly right.
But I was violating a natural law.
Mm-hmm.
And that natural law, God's not going to make an example and suspend that natural law because of my ignorance or my foolishness.
Exactly. You know, and we look at the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Or those 18 upon which the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were offenders above all the men that dwell in Jerusalem?" Jesus says, "Nay, I tell you, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Jesus said these people weren't killed as a result of their evil. God didn't punish them and make a tower fall on them. As a matter of fact, they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right.
Now, there was a group of people you were talking about earlier today that with me were talking about this people, this religious group who was saying all these evil things were happening because God was punishing the people. Tell us a little bit about that,
well,
Terry.
There's the Westboro Church, and I'm not sure where they're located. I've forgotten that. But they're out in another state. But what they do is they go where there's been, like, for example, if there is a funeral for a fallen military individual, they will go and picket those funerals. And they were going to go to West, and they were prevented. They were going to go to Moore and picket the funerals there, and they were prevented. They have a sign on the church building. I go on the website. Curiosity got the best of me. There's a big sign on their church building that said, "God hates America," and that all of this that is happening, all this destruction, all these problems, all this suffering is a result of the bad choices that America has made concerning homosexuality and other decisions like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tom, when I look at the New Testament, God doesn't hate America. He loves America.
Exactly.
Because America's people. God loves people. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son."
Mm-hmm.
Does he love sin? No. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Now, you read that verse about the tower. The concern of Jesus in that passage wasn't just the tower falling as individuals. He said there's something higher, a more nobler purpose you need to look at. Unless you repent, you're going to perish.
Exactly.
Unless you get out of this sinning business, you're going to lose your soul.
Exactly. So we got all this difficulty that happens in our world because of our freedom to choose.
Exactly.
But what I want to spend our last bit of time on here, Terry, and we have more than we can really cover, but we can talk about some things that are really important for us to understand with regard to suffering. There are benefits to suffering. One of the benefits is physical. There are physical benefits to suffering. For example, suppose one's clothes caught on fire. Without pain, we would be engulfed before we realize what was happening. You know, when we back up to the fireplace, when it gets too hot, you back away.
That's right.
But if you didn't have any feeling of pain, you'd back up, and next thing you know, your britches would be on fire. Pain causes us to go to the doctor.
That's right.
You know, when you're having that thing you think's indigestion in there, you go to the doctor because something's not right here. I'm having a pain where I've never had a pain, and you go to the doctor, and he does something for you. Pain causes us to avoid things that hurt us.
Pain saves your life.
It does. And so pain, it can also help develop noble character. And without pain, where would the traits like patience and bravery be cultivated if we didn't go through some agony and through some pain? Well, an athlete goes through pain
right.
to become a better athlete. Without pain, where would be the physical benefits? So there are physical benefits to pain.
exactly right.
But most importantly, and what I want us to spend our time remaining with, is there are spiritual benefits to pain and suffering. We might begin our thoughts in this regard by looking at the book of 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, I want you to consider with me what we find there in 2 Chronicles 33, verses 10 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, excuse me, 2 Chronicles 33, verses 10 through 12. It says, "And Jehovah spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they gave no heed. Wherefore, Jehovah brought upon them the captains of the host of the kings of Assyria, who took Manasseh in chains and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon." And notice this, verse 12. "And when he was in distress, he besought Jehovah his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers." It took difficulty, great difficulty in the life of Manasseh before he finally decided it's time to seek the Lord. I know you know of people, and I know of people who maybe they lived to the heathens their whole life, but then they had a near-death experience. And that got them to realize, you know what? I need to get right with God. I wonder how many people in Moore, Oklahoma, who after this catastrophe have begun to maybe take a closer look at God and the things God can provide.
It would be an interesting study for sure.
You know, we also got a passage in Psalm there, don't we, David? I mean, Terry?
You bet we do. In Psalm 119. Verses 67 and 71. Verse 67 said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." And verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." That, Tom, have you ever heard anybody say that it was good to be afflicted?
Mm-hmm.
But here is David, and what is he saying?
He realizes the benefit
right.
that there are. You know, when we think about that, one of the passages that always comes to my mind in this regard is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where there it says, "And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose." A lot of interesting things there in that verse. First of all, the prerequisite is to all them who love God.
Exactly.
The benefits that we're going to see taking place here are going to be those who love God. Remember in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will
keep my commandments.
But notice it says, all things. How much would that be? All things. Well, that would be the tornado in Moore, Oklahoma.
That's right.
That would be the hurricane in New Orleans. That would be an earthquake in California. That would be someone ridden with cancer. He says here, all things. Notice he says works together. He didn't say all things were good, necessarily.
Right.
But they work together for good if you love the Lord. If you're doing what he says, these difficulties that you're encountering in life are going to be to your benefit. Paul says more about this, doesn't he?
He does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, and I really love these two passages, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," notice that now, if you've ever studied the life of Paul, mm-hmm. what he went through in our estimation would not have been light affliction.
Exactly.
He calls it light affliction, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Tom, what he's doing is comparing what he's got now, comparing with eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "There's no comparison. This is light. This is small stuff."
Exactly. You know, and he goes on to say in chapter 12 of that same book, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, he says, "By reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelation that I should be exalted over much, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, and that it would depart from me. And he saith unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weakness than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul realizes that it is the difficulties in life that makes us stronger. I know you sharpen a knife from time to time, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you sharpen it on a piece of velvet?
Nope. I've never had.
What are you sharpening on?
Your whetstone.
And that's something hard, right?
Right.
There is a friction. We have to go through friction to be made sharp.
That's right.
We've got to go through difficulties in life to be made the kind of people that we need to be. You know, it is in these type of things that James also adds a very unique perspective on this too, right?
You bet. Verse 12 of James chapter 1, James wrote, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall," here's the key, "he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to him, that to them that love him." Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we understand through these passages we've read is our suffering makes us more dependent on God, don't they, Tom?
Exactly. When we have all these difficulties, we realize that there are benefits to suffering. There are physical benefits. There are spiritual benefits. And Terry, in the midst of suffering, we've got to realize that there is a place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary are at rest.
Right.
Job chapter 3 and verse 17. You know, I think about there is something much greater to look forward to. You know, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, it talked there about the various difficulties that they were going to encounter. But there's coming a time, isn't there, Terry, that there's not going to be any more pain.
That's right.
You'll notice there in verse 4, he says, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away." All of these difficulties that we encounter in life, and some have much more difficulties than other people do, makes us look forward to heaven, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I'd like to add a passage to this.
Go.
And I think that this is something that, you know, Jesus is our example. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 2, Jesus said, well, Paul wrote, or the author writes, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." When he was on the cross, there was something else he was looking forward to. And it wasn't in this life, David, Tom. It was sitting down at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the greatest lessons that we can pull from this passage.
You know, when we think about the various sufferings that people endure, we realize that there are physical benefits.
That's right.
We realize that, and more importantly, there are many spiritual benefits. I have seen people who are, I mean, they have gone through horrible circumstances in their life, and they are some of the strongest.
That's right.
And some of the most faithful Christians I know. Other people have difficulties happen to them, and they just fall to pieces. Why is it, Terry, that one person can have a situation happen to them, and they become strong and get through it very easily, and then you have someone over here go through a similar situation, and they just fall apart? Their life is just in shambles. What's the difference between the two, Terry?
It's the difference between their faith, and it's the difference between their attachment to the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Putting too much of their faith and their confidence in the physical, not in the faith itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the Bible, and when you look at some of these passages that we've been studying here a moment ago, it doesn't mean we enjoy suffering, but what happens is that we accept it, mm-hmm, as part of life, knowing that this is only temporary. There's something greater, greater beyond this.
You know, back in the day when I was an athlete and lifting weights, mm-hmm. and running, you know, that was pain. I did not enjoy being put through the ringer.
No.
I did not enjoy going through some of the things that I went through, but I realized by going through them, I would be made stronger.
That's right.
I would be made a better athlete.
That's right.
We may not enjoy some of the things that we have to endure in life, but we realize that going through them, we're going to be a much better person, a much stronger person. You know, I think about David Harris,
right,
in this regard, and some of the things he's going through and how many times he's seen, you know, talk about how blessed he is,
mm-hmm.
and how he now has a different perspective on life.
That's right.
Than he had before he began going through these things. And also, he mentioned also to me a couple of times how that, you know, you get to feeling sorry for yourself and how bad you think you have it, and then you go down there and you see somebody else who can't even walk into the doctor's office. They have to be rolled in the wheelchair. We are a blessed people. And if we'll look at these from a biblical perspective, we can be greatly benefited from this. Well, Terry, we're just about running out of time. We've been talking tonight about the problem of suffering and difficulty we arise, and how that some people blame God and they're wondering, where is God in all of this? Why are good people suffering? We've noted that this happens because, first of all, God has given us freedom to choose.
Right.
Sometimes people make personal wrong choices. Sometimes we suffer as a result of the wrong choices of other people. Sometimes we suffer because of the former generations and the things that they have done. And sometimes we suffer because we're violating natural law, but God has provided us benefit. We've noted physical benefits. We've noticed the spiritual benefits. We are people who can be greatly blessed by difficulties if we will handle them correctly. You have a final word you'd like to say?
I just want to quote or read one scripture, Romans 8:18, and then the lesson is our audience's. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Exactly. And so in all of this suffering and all this difficulty, realize there is a better place awaiting us. And now it's up to us to live our lives in such a way that we can get to that wonderful place where there'll be no more pain, no more suffering.
Amen.
It's been a delight to have you in our audience. We hope to see you next week here on the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We love y'all. We want to encourage y'all to be good Bible students. You have been listening to the HPR Network.